Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and again, we're so thankful for your word. You are a great and wonderful God. And we can come here, and we can worship you. And Lord, we ask that whatever we do be a blessing in your sight through music, through teaching, through fellowship. You rejoice in obedience, and I pray that we're obedient to you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to do a recap of last week really quick. We started to watching our step, watching each step as we walk in the Spirit. We saw that we needed to watch our conduct, to watch our conduct. We should not be conceited. We should not be provoking one another. We should not be envying one another. We shouldn't think of ourselves as high and mighty, better than everybody else. We shouldn't be taking jabs at one another. We shouldn't be poking them just for them to get a reaction. And we shouldn't be envying one another. This envying thing, as I was thinking about it this week, envying, we sometimes envy people. We sometimes envy things, possessions. There's one more thing that we sometimes envy. Sometimes we envy other people's spiritual gifts. I don't know if that's a problem for you, but sometimes I do that. I get to watch other pastors. I go, boy, I envy his gift of teaching. I want to be just like that person or just like that group of people. Or I want to imitate everything that they do through envy. Because I think, well, this guy is a lot better than I am. Oh, I wish I could be that guy. And then when I think about that, why am I not content with the way that God made me? That doesn't mean we can't be bettering ourselves. You know, take the initiative to take the steps to keep going forward. We do change in our ministry, and everybody here is called to a certain kind of ministry, and not many are called to the office of teaching or pastoring. Everybody in here who's a believer in Jesus has their own ministry. God has equipped you for his work, and you need to keep growing in that. And as time goes on, you're going to get better in it. And over the past 2 years here, and I've even noticed the way I change the way I do things on occasion. It's a growing process, and I look at other people as examples on how things might look, on some ideas I can take from listening or watching other guys. But then I need to come back and realize that God made me special. We're going back to VeggieTales now. Special in a good way, in a good way, that's special. Each and every one of you, he has made unique and special. And he does have a plan for each and every one of you. And we need to be sensitive to him. We need to keep cultivating that growth, and that way the Spirit can work through us and we can better watch how we conduct ourselves. We can keep being who God made us, but keep growing in him. And that's what we need to do as we continue to walk. See, we need to be aware of our behavior. Some of the time. All the time. All the time. Some of us are better behaved when we're sleeping. We need to be aware all the time. So if we're aware, we can be better equipped to help our brothers and sisters who are in Christ. Especially when they have backslidden. If and when we see them in that backslidden state, the mature believer is to go to that person, to go to them and see them. And the key is restoration. Restoration is the goal, is to restore that brother or sister in Christ who has backslidden. And there's another key word in there. Gently. Go to them gently. Don't take your 30-pound Bible hardback and smack them over the head. Some people may need that, but not right away. Go to them gently and help restore them. And when you're restoring them, what your ultimate goal is to show them who Jesus is. Lead them back to Christ with a spirit of gentleness. However, helping somebody comes with a warning. Because that person helping could fall into that temptation that other person is struggling with. That sin that other person is struggling with. If they're not strong enough to handle that, they can get drugged down with them. So we need to continually watch ourselves and our behavior in all that we do. Those who call themselves a Christian, those who proclaim they are a Christian, those they claim to follow Christ, they need to start living like one. Because guess what? If you claim to be a Christian, you're being watched. You're being watched. There are people that are watching you to see where you mess up, to see where you drop the ball. Welcome to my club. Because they're going to see how a Christian behaves through you. You say you go to First Baptist Church in Winter, they're going to be watching you. How are you walking? Are you going to be perfect? No. No. But it's how you correct yourself too. It's how you restore. It's how you grow in Him. So today we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6. So weird to say chapter 6 now. I'm just saying chapter 5 this whole time. Chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 2 through 5. But I'm going to go ahead and read the context of it. 5:25 through 6:5. It says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another to anger, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, with a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load." So we look at the last four verses of that passage. And he's reminding the people to bear one another's burdens. And when one does this, when you help bear someone's burdens, they are fulfilling the law of Christ. There's that law word again. But it's different. It's different. The law of Christ is found in 1 John 4:21. 1 John 4:21. And it says, "This commandment we have from Him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother." Whoever loves God must love his brother. Yes, it's the agape love used in this. It will show who you follow. Because when you love God, is it a little easier to love people? Apart from God, can you love people? It's way more difficult. Way more difficult. Because if you love God, you can more easily love your brother or sister because you have this mindset that they were created by God. They were created in the image of God. So those of you that are alive, physically, and those of past, have been created in the image of God. And we had to look at people like that. That God created them. And there's always hope for them. There's always hope. We might not see it sometimes. There's hope for them. Another verse is John 13:34. It says, "A new command I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." That love word keeps popping up, doesn't it? How did Christ love us? He went to the extremes. He died for us. He showed us His love by dying for us. How do you show your love to your neighbor, to your brothers, to your sisters, those that are in Christ? Each one is unique. When you love somebody, you're going to be meeting their needs, whatever it is that may be. Whatever need you can meet, that's how you love somebody. Humanity had a need, and that was salvation. Christ paid for us. He redeemed us. He bought us by His blood. It's an example that He set. That is the law of Christ. To love God and to love your brother. We can also love one another by bearing each other's burdens. When one is under heavy burdens, they could be under the weight of temptation and spiritual failures. According to Henry Morris, this word burden gives the idea of human frailty. The believer needs to be there to help the brother who is in sin and gently restore them. They should be there for him for support, encouragement, correction, and to help where available. To love one is to meet their needs. You know what? Sometimes that need is a listening ear or godly counsel. Well, and I think a lot of it is that listening ear. You go up to someone that you trust, and you go up there and you just start basically to unload your garbage on them, so to speak. You start just to puke out what's on your heart. I got away with words today. And sometimes what the mature believer needs to do is sit there and listen. Do a lot less talking and a lot more listening. When you're in those situations, you need to make sure that you put on your listening ears. Sometimes that speaks so much more. Basically, I'm telling you to be quiet. My wife would tell me the same thing sometimes. Be quiet and listen. And actually hear. Because when you're talking to somebody and they're sitting there listening to you, you're showing love that way. You have a genuine care about that person. You're intently listening. There's been a number of other pastors that has helped me out. When I was actually struggling with passages sometimes, I would go to Pastor Jerry's office, Phil's office, or Mark's office. I would go to them and say, "Hey, I'm having a problem with this passage." They'd say, "What's your problem?" And then I'd just talk 90 miles an hour. And they'd just sit there, they'd smile and nod politely, like I was going crazy. But they were attentive. And through that, I figured out what was going on. Sometimes when people just talk about their problems, they talk about their issues, they talk themselves in, oh, this is what I need to do. This is how I handle a situation, because they process it in their brains. And the mature believer needs to be there and just to listen. Listen. And the whole, shh, yes. We have a hard time doing that. Sometimes we're so fast just to give advice. Well, you should do this, this, or this. No, just listen. That's some of the best thing that you could do for somebody. So while you're doing that, while you're listening, you need to be attentive. And don't see something shiny and just get distracted. Some of us have a hard time. We have to focus. We have to really try hard to focus on certain people's issues. I have been guilty of that. I remember one time, it was horrible, to where my listening skills didn't work. I was working at Ace Hardware, and I was filling in for the plumbing section guy. All I know is that it goes downhill and vent it because it stinks. That's all I know. And I think that's most of it there. But anyways, this guy, he came up to me, and he started telling me this part that he needed. And he talked for what seemed like 2 minutes. And I heard the first thing he said, "Hey, I need help with this." And my brain just shut off. So after he got done talking, I realized what he was doing, because I don't know what happened. I saw something else, totally tuned him out. So then I had to find a creative way to say, "Oh, so what we're really trying to do is this, this, or this." He says, "No, I'm trying to do this." "Oh, okay." So don't put yourself in that situation to where you have to get creative. Sit there, listen, be attentive. And then we need to be cautious. Be cautious. Not to judge harshly. The brother who needs help. Somebody comes to you and they say they're struggling with something. How easy to look at them and say, "I don't have that problem. Glad I'm not that guy." No, we must never get an attitude that we are better than our backslidden brothers or sisters. It's easy to do. It's easy to play the comparison game. Just because that sin doesn't affect us. "I don't have that problem. Not my problem. This other person might." See, we must never elevate ourselves above others and think we're high and mighty because we don't struggle in some areas. However, when we get down to it, we struggle in areas that other people don't. We all have our struggles. We all struggle with certain things. We all struggle with this kind of coffee tastes better than the other kind of coffee. Or French press is better than drip. So we all have those things that we don't want to talk about. We all have those things that we just kind of want to keep to ourselves. Even when we're helping others. This means that one deceives themselves when they elevate themselves and look down on others and judge their sin more harshly than their own. A sin's a sin, right? Yeah, it is. Luke 6:39 through 42 gives us a really good idea. It says, "He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see that speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to a brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log in your own eye, and then you will see clearly and take that speck out of your brother's eye." We all struggle with certain temptations. We all have something in our lives that, in all honesty, shouldn't be there. We should have given that up no matter whatever it is. Should be dealt with. But we're in a fallen world. And it's a growing process. When somebody tries to help somebody else to bear their burden, to help them through struggles, the believer has to know, it's a good mindset, that we're not perfect. We're not perfect. And believe we're not perfect. We can have head knowledge. Do we have the heart knowledge? I know I fail in some areas. I know my weaknesses. That's one thing we need to know, is to know and understand we have weaknesses, and we're all in a work in process. God is still shaping and molding us, allowing us to go through certain things. He'll allow us to experience certain things. He never calls us to sin. He never tempts us to sin. He'll allow us to go through things. He's always there with us. And sometimes we're going to come through and sometimes not. And we have that mindset on, it's Christ that allows me to help. It's only through Christ can I do things. Then we can be more equipped to help our brothers or sisters out. And we don't elevate ourselves over them. Be very cautious on that. And then Paul makes an interesting statement. We're going to finish this. Paul makes this interesting statement in verse, in regards to helping others in verse 4. He says, "But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor." As we look at this, we need to evaluate. Is what we're doing amounting to anything? Is it fruitful? What is it that we're doing? Why are we doing it? We need to look at it and examine it. You need to ask themselves, am I being led by the Spirit, or am I only helping this person to make me for more self-gratification? Am I doing this to elevate myself? Look at me, I'm a great, great helper. Boy, I'm just awesome. Or are we doing it because we were led by the Spirit to do it? Are we in tune with God and His plan? See, the believer knows that they can only do good through the guidance of the Spirit. But you know what? Paul kind of left that out in this, didn't he? In this little passage. He didn't need to put it in. He made a case for it. Through the entire book. It's not through what we do on our own power. It's through Christ. Anything good happens. Through Christ. The reason to boast is in the future tense in our passage. The boasting is the work that has been done through the Spirit when one is in the presence of God before the judgment seat of Christ. And the believer needs to be careful in all conduct, because all will bear their own load. Now this is different than verse 2, because verse 2 is more about responsibility. The Greek word here is used when referencing a marching soldier. It is the person who is carrying the heavy pack. Each person will have their own load to bear. There will be an account for the follower of Christ when they are present with the Lord. It is how they respond to the Spirit and how they fulfill the law of Christ. As we've looked at this passage, we need not only to walk by the Spirit, but as we're walking, watch your step. Watch your step. Watch each step you take. Remember, we got really excited when the little ones take their first couple steps. We get really excited. Yay, they can finally walk. Maybe later they can clean their own room. I'm still working on that. Anyways, we need to watch our conduct, love our neighbor. And one way to do this is to be there for them, restore them gently. We must exercise caution, not get full of ourselves, thinking we're better than they are. When one shares their burdens, they are trusting somebody. They are trusting that person. We should never compare our lives with others and elevate ourselves. See, we don't know what people are going through at the time. So we can't judge them too quickly. We're all broken humans in here. We're all broken. We all struggle. And sometimes we need a tune-up. We should be able to trust the church to help us. That is, the mature believers in Christ, to help us work through these. If that is you, make sure you're grounded in your faith. And your job is to lead them back to Christ and His redeeming power, not your own. Again, sometimes the best way to help somebody is to listen and acknowledge that they exist. We don't do that a lot of times. Everything's done over superficial, over electronics. That face-to-face is very important. After that, pray for them. Pray for them. That means a lot. They will know that they are loved. We as believers need to watch our steps as we walk in the Spirit, making sure we are there to help each other. Making sure we do not stumble, because one day we will stand before God. And on the flip side of that, those who have struggles but remain quiet, y'all need help as well, before it's too late. So we got this path we need to be walking. And Satan either wants us over here or over here off of it. Those who bear their burdens to everybody they come in contact with, nobody takes them serious anymore. They're over here. They're over here. The other one is the one who keeps everything inside, who keeps bottling it up and closing it down and shoving it down and shoving it down. They don't think they need help. They think they're strong enough until that one time to where it's got to go somewhere. And that can lead you off the edge over here. See, as a church, we're here to help, support, encourage, correct each other. Yes, correct each other. When our brothers and sisters are in sin, we're to go to them and correct them. We also need to be able to trust. If you're this person who doesn't trust anybody, and I get that, I'm not sure what you can believe anymore apart from the Word of God. We see too many sides of stories. We don't know what to trust anymore. I have people calling me, hey, it's a fundraiser for this. Huh, I don't trust you, click. Sometimes it's legitimate, sometimes it's a scam. We don't know anymore. The world we live in, we don't know what we can trust. And then that reflects on the people. Can I really trust this person? Makes me wonder. Those that have struggled trusting people needs to find somebody. You need to find that one person that you trust, that you can go to, and you just puke your guts out to them, all your burdens and everything. And it's very helpful, too, when you do that, when you unload all your baggage. But it takes a person you can trust. And you need to have that one person, sometimes two people. We all need that one person to help us, because we're a church. We're growing together. It's not easy finding that one person. It takes time. But in the end, it's worth it, to where that healing process can start. Even when you're in sin and you need help, find that person. The goal is restoration. Grow them in Christ. We are to be sensitive and assist others in making sure we're strong in our faith. Watch your step. Follow the leading of the Spirit according to the Word of God, according to His Word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for your guidance and your wisdom, that you have preserved your word so we can look at it, so we can study it, so we can know how to conduct our lives, so we can live for you. Help us to seek you. Help us to be more sensitive. Help us to be better listeners. Help us to guide others towards who you are. Use us and our actions to show others who we follow. It's evident on who we follow, the things that we do, the things that we say. Are we following you, or are we following the ways of the world? Help us to watch each step that we take. Help us to walk closer to you and not go our own way. Lord, I thank you that you are there for us, that you do guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You are dismissed.